Next on BYUSN, the hype machine for BYU basketball is churning, and the talent on the roster, why not be excited about it? So what would qualify as better than last season if they've upgraded? Head coach Kevin Young joins us in studio to discuss building that talented roster, finalizing his coaching staff, and much more.
Cougar golfer Cooper Jones joins us after tying for 16th in his first professional tournament, all of this months ahead of going on his mission. Our best quarterback bracket's down to the final four, baby, with today's matchup featuring a Heisman winner and a national champion. Plus, Kenneth Rooks repeats, and current student-athlete James Corrigan shocks the nation with the podium finish in the steeplechase at the Olympic Trials.
Steeplechase you, people. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, June 25th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who cannot wait to chug some chocolate milk in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, Jerem Jordan.
I've never done it in the stadium, just on this here set, but BYU posted this, coldest chocolate milk in college football. See you in the fall, sober. This in response to Tulane posting about their kind of proudest, best concession item. Louisiana then responded. Other teams have jumped in it. So, yeah, BYU's known for the soberness, for the handing out the ice cream, for the sweets. We love sugar here maybe more than anybody else. With all the soda shops and whatnot, we love sugar in lieu of said liquor.
The soda shops are starting to pop up nationwide. Like, the rest of the country is taking hold of what Utah introduced, and the Utah Valley area specifically.
America, we love sugar.
By the way, is BYU still holding on to that amazing streak, stone cold sober? Has that been interrupted
at all?
Spence,
if they're not, I think Salt Lake's going to have an issue.
Has it been interrupted at all? Let's go.
What other private Christian university is like, we were 0.1% better than you fools. No, we're dominating that space. Firesides, tunnel singing, socks and sandals. Stone cold sober. Ain't nobody can touch us on these.
All right, it's time to continue that domination in this conversation. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Last season, I was concerned about BYU, and that was a really fun team to watch, but they kind of came out of nowhere.
I think BYU is in position under Kevin Young to be an NCAA tournament team next season.
Trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Holy cow. We mentioned the hype machine is going at a new level for BYU basketball. And this off of one of the most enjoyable, unexpected seasons in BYU basketball history. It was so exciting and so unexpected that when Mark Pope left for Kentucky, naturally, there was just this collective depression that set in around the BYU basketball community. Then the hiring of Kevin Young, and now roughly 2.5 months later, here we are thinking BYU might be better than they were last year with Mark Pope. But the question is, Jerem, what does better than last season actually look like?
Yeah, so we don't have the schedule, so I can't pin like a number of wins per se. I want to see who BYU is playing first. But certainly you hope that because this roster has more talent, I think it's super fair to say that. That's not an indictment on last year. Just when you're bringing in a projected lottery pick and Yegor Demon and Kanan Catchings is a guy who could be drafted potentially next year as well, and you have Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Trevenon Foose, they're all a year older, Dawson Baker off the medical redshirt. Like, why wouldn't this group and Mawit Mag and Kaba Kata, like, you're more athletic, you're longer. I'm not sure it's a better overall shooting team per se, Spence. I think that's the one thing that last year's team may have on this year's team. But you're a better defensive team with Kata and Mag and the length of some of these guys. The roster has been upgraded. Are they a little younger? Yeah.
Certainly.
You're bringing in six guys, four freshmen that are super notable, two transfers with them. But I really like this group. So What would be better is, first off, winning at least a game in the NCAA tournament. You do that, we clearly say that was a better year. And that could be if you finish 8th or 9th in the Big 12.
See, and that, technically speaking, would not be better than
right.
last year.
And how do you define the season? The season is defined by how you perform in the NCAA tournament. Unless you won the Big 12. If somehow you won the Big 12 regular season or tournament, we would hold on to that piece a ton. But we would be even more disappointed by zero wins in the NCAA tournament. If you win one game in the NCAA tournament, you have now put yourself in a spot that only so many BYU men's basketball teams have done. Can you finish fifth in the league? I see BYU finishing sixth or seventh.
The conference expands and gets better.
I think BYU could finish sixth or seventh and still be like a five seed.
Yes.
And you would be a better seed. You would finish lower in the league. I'm hoping for a semifinal appearance in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament.
Jeremy, there might be
two. If this team is like that good.
There might be two number one seeds out of the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So go to the tournament, win a game. Now, this team is going to be too good to just expect one at some point. I think it's going to be like 1.5 wins is what we're hoping for. Only two teams have won twice in the NCAA tournament. You'd have the National Player of the Year. But what we've not said before is, what if you don't have the National Player of the Year, but you have a lottery pick?
But you have a top 10 overall recruiting class.
And you have Yegor Demon.
How about
who,
that?
Who could be a top 10 guy. Now you're in a place where we'll go, I think at some point with this team, they're too talented and athletic and experienced with some guys, yet young. There's a nice blend of that. That at some point, we're going to hope that it's Sweet 16 plus. We really are. I'm not going to say Final Four here quite yet. I just want to enjoy that journey. Because we said Final Four with the Lone Peak 3, and that unfortunately that group played 1 year together and they didn't win an NIT game. They did beat number one Gonzaga. That was fun. But it would have been nice to see them kind of grow old together. We're not going to see this group grow old together. We won't. If Demon's that good, he's probably out, baby. And that'd be a good thing.
Feels like 2 years max.
2 years max. And next year, what are we going to be talking about? Yegor Demon and Kenny Catchings, hopefully, in the NBA draft this week. So, long answer, but win a game in the NCAA tournament and get a higher seed than a six from last year. I really want a five seed for this group. I really
Man. Do. Yeah, the variable there that needs to be taken into context is the fact that the Big 12 will be better than it was last year. Not only does it add teams and expand to 16, which makes it that much tougher, there's more teams you have to go through to finish in fifth place or tied for fifth, but we believe that the competition will get better and stronger. So that is an interesting tidbit to have to mull over when you're considering expectations for BYU. And isn't it wild that BYU lost Jackson Robinson, Ali Khalifa, Colin Chandler, and Noah Waterman, and we're like, oh, clear upgrade. Like, what?
Well, you added two players better than Colin Chandler.
I know, but that's unbelievable.
And I like Jax. He shot 30% in Big 12 play. It wasn't like he was blowing the doors off, right? But at 14 a game off the bench, that's a good player. I would have loved to have Jackson. But he wasn't shooting his best in Big 12 play, to be honest. But he carried BYU in that NCAA tournament game with 25.
How awesome. Will it translate if BYU does, and we believe clearly, has more talent on the roster, how will it translate on to wins and losses? Does it mean a win in the NCAA tournament? Because by the time we get to next spring, it will have been 14 years since BYU won a first-round NCAA tournament game. We're not talking first
four. Not talking first four, yeah.
We're talking first round, get to the round of 32. It will have been 14 years since BYU had been to the round of 32.
For as good as this program is and as many wins as it's had, that's pathetic. Like, you've got to win in the NCAA tournament. BYU can do much better. It is a minimum one win in the dance team. And frankly, it's almost so talented, we might be disappointed with only one win. Because you have upgraded the talent in an incredible way. And we hope, if BYU really does have two first-round picks on its roster next year, potentially, let's win two, dog. Let's do something that's only happened twice.
It has taken something extraordinary to get BYU to the Sweet 16.
You got an extraordinary group.
The two times
group.
That the Cougars have done it. Yes, this is an extraordinary group. How much time do you give them to gel? And because
one
they
season,
because
that's what you
because
have.
Because they are young. Like, for me, clearly getting better is just give me one win. Because it hasn't in almost a decade and a half, which is crazy. Which is crazy for how much winning BYU has done. So that's the clear answer for me. Win a game in the NCAA tournament. If BYU finishes seventh in the Big 12 and it's like, well, they were fifth last year, That one to
me
is
tough. You didn't have Arizona and Colorado.
And you didn't have 16 teams. You only had 14. So, and it was a little bit down. Kansas is going to be
Kansas finished in
way
fifth.
Better.
That tells you kind of what happened there. Plus, Baylor got upgraded, dude. Baylor will be legit. Iowa State returns a lot. They're going to be awesome. Obviously, Kansas is going to be
Houston,
fantastic.
Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, Arizona.
Houston's going to be awesome again. I will take.
Who's BYU going to supplant in that group to finish in the top five?
I would take seventh right now. Like, that would be awesome. Well, I actually, I'm lying. I want to see this group and see what they can do. Because it just feels like if you literally have a couple first-round guys potentially, that you could finish in the top five. But BYU's not unique. Like, you're talking about some of the other schools. They have guys like that that they brought in. Like, BYU's not BYU's probably not even in the top, what, three recruiting? Like, they're up there, but the Big 12 is legit with the recruiting. They're bringing in guys of the Catchings and them and ilk.
BYU's got a top 10 recruiting class. They got a top 10 recruiting class. It might be the fifth best in the Big 12.
Right? Like, and it's not about, to me, where you finish in the Big 12 per se or what you even do in that tournament, although it'd be nice to make a run. It's about winning in the NCAA tournament. That's how we're going to define the season. Because if you don't win there, what was the point? We enjoy the journey and enjoy the wins as they go. But after last year, like, it was an awesome year for sure. All you needed was beat Duquesne, and we would have put you in a different place in the history of teams here.
End the drought. Again, we have noted over the past 3 weeks that BYU has made some significant changes in pulling in that recruiting class. And along with that, in the past 3 weeks of the show, we've had the likes of ESPN's Sean Farnham and Fran Fischilla and John Rothstein, big name for CBS Sports, all join our show to discuss the Cougars under Kevin Young and how they think BYU will fare in year one of Big 12 play with KY at the helm.
Yes, the league will be even better next year. It'll be back to what we expected in recent years, where Texas Tech went to a Final Four, Baylor won a title, Kansas won a title.
Guys, I think when you look at the Big 12 next season,
oh man,
I think there is a real chance where we could have multiple number one seeds in the NCAA tournament out of the Big 12.
I think that that's the challenge for BYU fans, is to understand that the roster can be better. You can have a team that actually has better success in the NBA, the NCAA tournament potentially, but you might finish lower inside the Big 12.
This is the reality, yeah. Jerem. All three of them.
This makes sense to everybody, right? You added a couple good teams, why wouldn't you potentially finish lower and be still better? It makes sense. Next.
All three of them concur. Like, the Big 12 gets tougher. You can finish 7th or 8th and be a better basketball team and go win a game or two in the NCAA tournament.
Just wait till you get a couple ACC teams in a few years into the league, if that happens.
So, again, this is we're coming off a BYU team that was tied for 5th in the Big 12. Like, just crazy, right? They
no expectations.
Blasted expectations because they were picked to finish 13th.
Is it unfair to say that this is Sweet 16 good, this roster? It's not unfair, right? You're kind of too talented to sort of – you're like – again, we're on the 1.5 wins.
I'm not there
yet. We're on the 1.5 wins spot. But if this team can't win one game in the NCAA tournament, what BYU team will? Come on! This team has to win at least one. It's too
good. That's where I am. I'm there.
It's too good.
Get to the round of 32 and end the 14-year drought.
And if you really are as talented as it looks on paper, granted, it's 1 year together. Because, again, if you're really good, you bounce to the NBA. If you're super good, you bounce to the NBA. You got 1 year to do it together. Let's go.
Our question of the day. We just answered it. What do you think? For BYU men's basketball, what would qualify as better than last season?
Oh, this is the perfect count to be the opening post here.
Kevin Young, propagandist on X answers. Nice. With two Big 12 tournament games and one NCAA tournament game. So saying win two in the Big 12 tournament,
yes.
Win one in the NCAA tournament.
Well, if you're like into the quarters, if you're a top 8 seed already, so you're into the semis? No, you're into the title game?
How will that shake out?
8-4.
Like, well, with 16 teams, are there going to be first-round buys? Have we seen the postseason tournament?
Or is it you have to win 4 games?
Or, like, straight up, like, 16 seed plays the number one seed?
We don't know yet. Yeah, it's a good point. We don't know quite yet.
I have no idea. Are they going to protect the higher seeds?
Are you going to protect the higher seeds or not?
With 16?
Do you have to win, like, 4 games in 5 days? Do you start on Monday and on Saturday? So you go 6 days? You go
Do you eliminate the bottom two and they don't make the postseason tournament?
I think everyone makes it.
Okay.
I don't think you do it like baseball where it was top 10 out of the 14 or whatever.
So Kevin Young, again, propagandist.
I think everyone makes it.
Win 2 Big 12 tournament games and 1 NCAA tournament game. I think more than that is certainly possible with a roster like this, but that would be a baseline for improvement from last year.
Real quick, I kind of think we can't compare to last year. It's a different staff and it's a different recruiting space. BYU's in a different sphere.
It's a different league too.
And also, how much are we giving Kevin Young to figure out how to coach in college?
This is what I'm saying.
We're kind of not.
This is what
we're
I'm
kind
saying.
Of going, do it now.
That's what I'm saying. One win. That's where I like asking Kevin Young to get BYU to the Sweet 16 in year one is wild. It's wild.
Is it when you're that talented on paper? It's hard.
Well, how much chemistry? Year two? Okay. Year one?
Kevin Young's coming up after the break. Let's ask him about expectations.
Yeah, what does he think about expectations?
Yes. Because maybe they haven't set him, but like, when do you start to sort of formulate that? We'll see.
Is he going to want to punch us in the face when we ask about it?
He seems like a chill dude. I don't think he's going to punch us in the face. Okay, if you missed our BYU football That 70 shows, show that aired on Friday, you can check it out on demand. Fun show chronicling the decade that set up the great 80s, featuring Gary Scheide and Mark Wilson on the program.
He might be the most popular man in Provo, speaking of Kevin Young.
You? Oh.
And he's in studio. No, I'm way down the line. He'll discuss the recent roster moves and, again, what he thinks of expectations. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
There's a lot going on up to the court. I'm watching tape on our players here. I'm watching tape on recruits and trying to blend all that together. Every day we're plugging away and it's drawing those parallels between the world I came from into this, and that's what most of these guys are trying to do anyways.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, once again teamed up with Jerem Jordan. And for the second time in the Cougar Council Room, we welcome in the new BYU men's basketball head coach, Kevin Young. Coach, great to have you back.
Glad to be here, guys. Appreciate it.
This is like the June fit. Like, it's hot out. We could go outside. We could go in the gym. Look.
Yeah, you know, it's versatile. You know, it's versatile. Like, this was a new one I just found in the bag, so throw it on.
That's a nice one. I was saying, I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, you know, it's special for you guys. Yeah.
When you're the head coach of BYU, you have access to stuff that we can't either. That's pretty nice.
All right, you're in midsummer workouts and got the fresh fits going on. How are summer workouts going thus far?
Going good, yeah. It's been good to get most of the guys in the gym. Today we got a big one where we hopefully play a lot. But no, it's been good. Coaches getting to work, you know, players getting to know the coaches, terminology, and all the things that are new that we're just trying to kind of put on everyone's plate.
So Kanan Ketchings posted that he's in town. When will Yegor be in the gym with you guys?
He's had a couple of things he's got to take care of, but hopefully later in the week he'll be back in here working out with the guys.
Is that everyone else available and ready to go? Unless they go on their honeymoon like Dawson Baker did a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Most everybody is. A couple guys are banged up, coming back off some injuries and doing some things, return to play. But yeah, for the most part, everybody's healthy. And, you know, it's exciting because then we obviously get a chance to see the group together for the first time and, you know, get a better feel for, you know, what else we may need to look to add.
You're full of basketball advice, obviously, but Jerem just brought up the wedding of Dawson Baker. What's the marital advice you give to a guy like that?
Do whatever she says.
It's good advice.
Yeah,
it's very good advice. Yeah,
stay out of the way.
Yeah. Fair enough. And it feels like so much has changed since last time we had you in studio, and a lot had changed from the point of you taking over to when we finally got you in studio, but things are moving at a lightning pace right now. So, Yegor Demon, Kanan Ketchings, Mawat Mag, Elijah Crawford, all four of those guys have been signed since we last talked to you. What do you think of that core that you bring into the guys that you brought back from last year's squad?
Yeah, no, we like to blend, you know, obviously trying to add certain things that we were missing. You know, those four guys in particular, you know, a lot of size, you know, with three of them and athleticism as well. You know, they all bring different things. I know shooting, most, you know, like Cannon's an amazing shooter, got great size, high release, tough to block his shot, you know, big time athlete. You know, Yegor is a, you know, at this point feels somewhat well documented, you know, what he brings to the table, but, you know, unique size and skill level for that level of you know, length, you know, his ability to handle the ball, pass, be a playmaker, and then pairing him up with some of the other guys that we have, to your point, is exciting for us. You know, Mag's obviously a tremendous defensive player, you know, very experienced, Big, strong, bigger, actually bigger than I thought he would be. Usually it's the other way around. Usually they shrink on the plane, but he's good size. And Elijah, you know, great, first of all, great kid, great personality, you know, really brings a lot out in the group, but he's had a really good summer so far. You know, gives us some, a little bit more dynamic ability with the ball in his hands. So we love those four guys in addition to the things we've already gotten done.
You got to have a Georgia guy, right?
With Elijah. Absolutely.
Just a little peach flavor there is not too bad, right? Okay, let's talk about Yegor. The BYU has not signed a guy like him before. I mean, you could say Chris Muchosic back in the 60s, but he was kind of off the radar. It's different. This guy is big time. When did the conversation start? And at your press conference, you said, hey, I want this to be the best place for guys to develop for the NBA. You weren't kidding in getting a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, it was when I first got the job and I was trying to figure out, you know, staffing and so forth. You know, I wanted to, my goal was to get people that had ties and connections and so forth kind of all over the world. And, you know, we were able to do that with the staff that we were able to get done. And so early days, it was kind of some conversations about who might be some of those international targets once we had some of the staff put together. He was at the top of that list, and, you know, the basketball world is a pretty small one, so, you know, a couple calls here and there, you know, ended up being some connections and so forth that we could, you know, kind of lock into. And then I think the staff did a really good job of the recruitment and tying into all of our networks and so forth. And you know, that was a target early on, and really happy that it got done.
And one of those guys in the network would be Travis Hansen. Mm-hmm. How pivotal was he as a guy who was popular in Russia as a player, went to BYU, played in the NBA for a bit. He had those connections. Yet, he was like, sure, I'll sell BYU, but the family, he said they were very impressed with you and what BYU had to offer.
Yeah, I mean, interesting thing with that with Trav is I didn't honestly know Trav at all, like prior to even, I'd already had a few conversations with Yegor and his people, and then, you know, ended up having a first conversation with him through that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so
that was the connecting piece.
Yeah, you know, which I'm sure we obviously would have gotten connected at some point even without that, but yeah, that's actually what kind of introduced us, which is kind of interesting.
In a little more than 2 months that you've been the head coach at BYU, what's been the most eye-opening or surprising thing that you have encountered?
I think the thing that's probably surprised me the most, and I've made this comment before, but just I thought the NBA world and the college world would just be so unbelievably different in all areas, but in fact, they're very similar. And what I mean by that is just the network of people that I'm interacting with almost on a daily basis are similar to people that I interacted with in the NBA. I thought that would not be the case whatsoever. Even just before I got over here, I was on the phone with someone who I was connected with because of the NBA. We're talking about recruiting, this and that. And so that definitely has surprised me.
Have the worlds blended in any way through NIL transfer portal stuff, or is that independent? Because certainly the game and the way you sort of manage a roster is totally new to the college guys, yet you're like, well, this is more like what I'm familiar with perhaps. But are you talking just like people that you talk to are not as sort of, you're over here, I'm over here?
Yeah, I'd say just the people, you know, just there's the movers and shakers are kind of the same people that move and shake in the NBA, you know, and then same thing here in the portal. And even in the recruiting, you know, not when I say recruiting, I mean just even high school kids, you know, all that stuff is starting to really blend together. And so, you know, for me, and not just me, that's part of why I hired some of the staffing that I did, because, you know, a guy like Will Voigt has been in that same world for his whole career. He knows a lot of those people as well. And so I feel like that's been a real, you know, benefit, you know, for us because of some of the coaches we have. They know a lot of those people because of their past experiences as well.
What do you feel like you know about your team at this point, whether it's basketball observation, getting to know their personalities? What do you feel like you can say confidently, I know this?
You know, I like the character of the group. You know, something that we vetted quite a bit with every guy we've brought in. You know, that's something that's very similar to the way NBA teams operate. I mean, the amount of intel that NBA teams have on players is really impressive. It's able to actually dip into that a little bit. You know, if a guy comes on my radar, there's a few guys I can call in the NBA that'll send me crazy amounts of information on like that player, their circle, all the, you know, their coach, what all people have said about them. So the character of their group, I think, is really high. Everyone understands, you know, the BYU way, and we've been, you know, mindful of that. And then, you know, I think we've done a good job putting together a team of guys that fit, you know, in terms of, you know, different skill sets and things like that. And yeah, that's probably got me excited the most.
Who would have known that the Delaware 87ers would be the crux of the BYU basketball universe, right? And it feels like almost every guy has touched that team in some way, but you pulled in those connections. I want to ask you about Kanan Catchings. Obviously, decommits from Purdue. There's the Tim Fannin connection at Overtime Elite, but it's not automatic. You don't automatically get a guy. You have to have a relationship, and it has to be a good fit. What went into signing him? Because according to 24/7 Sports, he's the highest-rated recruit in BYU history. I think Yegor might be number one if he was domestic, but those two are two of the best ever.
Yeah. You know, with Cannon in particular, you know, it's actually been similar to the way a lot of the other recruitments have gone. Like somebody has a connection, and then somebody else ends up having an additional connection. You know, like Tim obviously coached him. Had a good relationship with his mom, who's amazing. And then, you know, some of his advisors, you know, I had a connection with, and then Will had a connection with the advisor's advisor and so forth. And it's just deep and intertwined, right? But the thing that stood out so far in this whole process is, you know, someone has a connection. They bring that person to the group of coaches. You know, we vet it out. Then when we get them on campus, like everyone that's come on campus has been extremely complimentary of our staff. And so, you know, most of these guys didn't really know each other, certainly hadn't worked together before, with the exception of a few of them. But I think the staff has gelled really well. I think people can feel that when they're around us and so forth. And so it's just been somebody brings it to the group, and then we all kind of take it and run with it. And that's been a pretty cool thing to watch.
Is that validating for you as the guy who puts this together? Because you really hope it comes together, and it seems like it's gone well so far.
Yeah, it is validating. Yeah, it is. And even, you know, some of those coaches have talked to me separately, like, hey, you know, I wasn't sure about this guy, but I love this guy, you know what I mean? Now, it's easy to say that right now when we're 0-0 and haven't lost or won any games, I'm sure, you know, but that's part of it. But, you know, I think for me, I've been on a lot of different staffs in the NBA, right? And the most fun times I've had as a coach is when the staff all gets along and everyone's rowing in the same direction, and that's really fun. And when it's not that, it really, I think the players can feel it. And so I try to do a good job of getting guys that I thought would all mesh well together.
Kevin Young, the BYU head basketball coach, is on BYU Sports Nation. You bring up Tim Fanning. He mentioned you guys like to go to Shake Shack and talk ball and talk some other technological things.
Vegas with
you
the
know, whatever, yeah. Okay, analytics, things like that. So you got one scholarship left. If you were at Shake Shack discussing things with your staff, what would you be talking about with that one scholarship remaining?
Yeah, we didn't have any Shake Shack, but we were talking about it yesterday quite a bit. That's funny. I actually forgot about the Shake Shack Vegas. But now we're being mindful of what we feel like. First of all, do we want to use it? You know, there's been some discussion about that. You know, I think there's a couple different areas we could go. You know, a little bit more size is where I'm probably leaning. But we'll see. You know, we'll see what shakes out in terms of who becomes available. I think it's starting to finally slow down a little bit. For a while there was like a new guy that would pop up on the board every other, you know, hour, it felt like. But we have zeroed in on a few more guys. You know, we'll see where it ends up, but size is kind of where we're looking if we do something there.
In terms of scholarship allotment, there's six returners, there's six new guys, several high-profile freshmen. What's going to be the key to this group gelling so that you have a successful first year?
Yeah, I just think they got to play together, you know, as much as we can. You know, I think that's why these summer workouts are good. You know, getting everybody here, being able to just, you know, just play, learn each other's tendencies, learn where guys like the ball and that kind of thing, hanging out with each other, you know, all that stuff's really, you know, I actually laugh because in the NBA, right, you know, this is literally how the NBA preseason works. You show up, like training camp, right, you show up, you have like four practices, and then the preseason starts. Like, that's training camp.
That's it.
That's it. And so I'm over here, and the coaches are like, oh, yeah, well, we got that. I'm like, man, we have so much practice time before the first game, right? So it's interesting, you know, for me learning, you know, how all that's going to, you know, go, you know, like come together ultimately, right? So I'm not worried about the gelling part because of that, right? We have so much time. It's not like you just throw it together in a couple of days and off you go. So I'm looking forward to that process of having that amount of practice time and guys being able to figure each other out.
How would you sum up the reception that you have received since taking over head coach at BYU? I know I have a good friend who sent his son to your basketball camp in a Clayton State t-shirt.
That was nice.
I was like, wow, Tyler Dunn, shout out, man. Yeah. That was next level.
Did you notice that right away?
There was two of them. They were flossing the shirts, and my mind was blown, actually. They definitely made the demonstration portion of the camp when I saw them with the shirts on.
But along with that, how would you sum up just the general reception in roughly 2.5 months?
It's been great. You know, you can feel the excitement, you know, in the community, on campus. It's been really impressive, honestly, just how much people care about what we're doing, whether that's fans, whether that's, like I said, people on campus and so forth. A lot of people coming out of the woodwork I haven't talked to in a long time that would just drop, you know, hey, man, love what you guys are doing. But also in the NBA world as well. Like, I've had a lot of people hit me up like, man, that's cool what you guys are doing so far. And so obviously a ton of work to do still, but early days, you know, it's been cool for people to be this excited about BYU basketball.
We talked in the opening segment about expectations in year one. The talent is really high. The athleticism is high, as you mentioned. When do you start to analyze what you expect as a group in year one?
You know, I've always struggled with expectations and the idea of, like, what expectations are. Honestly, like, you know, if you're supposed to do this, then you try harder to do that. Or if you're not, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, what I expect is for us to show up every day and try to be, and it sounds extremely coachy, and I try not to sound super coachy all the time. But just try to be the best version of ourselves that day and get better. And the next day, show up and get better. Like, one thing Monty Williams said every day when I was with him every single day, just like, good days add up. And that's kind of that's what I expect. I expect good days to add up, and you know, where we end up, you know, we'll see. But you know, the one thing I do expect for our group is just to not believe in what people say. You know, I don't, if whether we're ranked here or we're ranked there, picked this, like, we want to be the best that we can be, and we can climb the mountaintop just as well as anybody else. So why can't we do it is kind of the way I see expectations.
All right, Coach, we appreciate the time, and you coming in during your busy offseason workout schedule to hang out with us and give us some insight into BYU basketball. And Shake Shack on Tim Fannin.
On Tim Fannin. Tim Fannin for next time.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Thanks,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Kevin. Okay, as we continue to celebrate the 100th season of Cougar football, we're going to look back on another decade in Cougar football. Hey, 80s were pretty good, Doc. We're going to do part one and two. BYU football back to the 80s. We'll talk to Steve Young, our conversation with Jim McMahon. 1980 to 83, that's coming up this Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, BYU proving once again they're a steeplechase school. Incredible performances at the U.S. Olympic trials. We'll recap it all next. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo! Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. We just had a fantastic conversation with BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young. You can see it on demand if you missed any bit. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out today's headlines.
You always had a very strong showing at the track and field U.S. Olympic trials the past few days. Kenneth Rooks, Sunday night, won his third national title in the steeplechase. He defended his U.S. title. Current BYU athlete James Corrigan took third in the same event. Both ran under the Olympic standard, so Rooks is expected to make the Olympics based on where he is on the list in the world, while Corrigan needs to run a time below that standard in a race this Saturday at Penn State, where Kenneth Rooks will pace him. If he hits the standard, he's expected to be in.
Okay.
In the women's steeplechase, Lexi Halliday-Lowry and Courtney Wayman advanced to the finals on Thursday. This is a steeplechase school. Eight other current or former BYU athletes competed, did not qualify for the final in their event, but seven other athletes will compete Thursday and Friday for a chance to clinch more spots in Paris.
The swim and dive Olympic trials wrapped up this past weekend. Current BYU swimmers Jordan Tiffany and Brad Prolo, former swimmer Peyton Sorensen, and incoming swimmer Lucy Warnick all competing but did not qualify for the Paris Games. BYU diver Mickey Strauss also competed but did not qualify. Still, well done to get as far as they all did.
Since our last live show on Thursday, Daniel Schneeman started in 5 games for the Cleveland Guardians and fortunately beat my Mariners in a series. But he recorded 3 hits, including his second home run, his second triple of the season, with 2 RBIs. Schneeman now batting .289, 8 ribbies. He also made an incredible catch against the outfield wall. More on that in a minute.
He's played 6 different positions.
Not bad.
Unbelievable. Other Cougars in the minors. Now, Austin Deming recorded 2 hits, had a double and an RBI this weekend for the Asheville Tourists. Justin Sterner pitched 2 innings across 2 outings for the Durham Bulls, giving up 2 runs and striking out 3 batters. Cy Nielsen pitched 2 innings in 2 outings, gave up 2 runs, struck out 4 for the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Nate Daly pitching 1 inning, struck out 2 batters for the Bowling Green Hot Rods.
Hey, a couple weeks ago, Kerber.
Had their baby.
Congratulations to those two. Nate and Kansas.
Finally, Ryan Brady pitched 1 inning, gave up 1 hit, and struck out 2 batters for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Robert Redford approves.
Congrats to BYU golfer Cooper Jones, who finished tied for 16th after shooting 13 under par at the Compliance Solutions Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour this past weekend. He had an exemption as an amateur. Top 25 finish. He earned a spot in next week's Memorial Health Championship in Springfield, Illinois, June 27th through the 30th. We'll visit with Cooper in the next segment. Also in that tournament, Peter Quest, Daniel Summerhays, former Cougar golfers, competed. Quest finished tied for 16th as well with Coop, and Summerhays finished 43rd. How about the Cougs
in that tournament? It's one step away from the PGA Tour. Well, it's not like some little tour. This is the next step.
It's
right before the PGA Tour.
Absolutely.
Congrats to former softball pitcher Chloe Temples, who has signed with Hub City Adelitas of the professional or the Women's Professional Fast Pitch League, joining former teammate Maddie Bejarano on that squad.
Marina Mata of Women's Hoops signs with the Spanish club back home. She's from Spain. Cadi Laseo. Mata appeared in 13 games for the Cougars last season. Best of luck to Marina.
One more golf headline. Congratulations to longtime head coach Bruce Brockbank of the BYU men's squad, who was named part of the Utah Golf Hall of Fame in the class of 2024.
I didn't know he wasn't in it already.
He should have been in it.
So there you go. Yeah, congratulations.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
BYU football teased a new uniform combination for the 100th season on their website. What combo would you like to see come back?
Just give me the royal blue with the drop shadow numbers and the white pants, Jeremy.
So like the 96.
I want Steve Sarkisian, that 96 squad, yeah. Drop shadows.
I would like mesh royal in honor of the 80s, or tan or orange from the 40s.
Tan?
Did you know the BYU ran with orange? They did for 2 years in the 40s.
I don't know if I can do that.
That'd be terrible.
Straight tan, I don't know if I can do it.
Give me a leather helmet.
All right, on to some baseball. Daniel Schneeman, as we mentioned, is crushing it, quite literally, for the Cleveland Guardians in the major leagues. Hit a home run this past weekend and had a web gem all within a matter of minutes in the same game. Which was better, the home run or the catch, Jeremy?
His hair is the best part of this whole thing. No, he is playing so well. This grab is spectacular. Remember, this is a utility guy. He's like more of a second base shortstop guy. This is not his natural position,
yep,
but he can play any position.
That's why I'm going with the catch.
He is making spectacular plays. Congrats to Daniel.
I'm going with the catch because it's not his position.
That's awesome.
Is so tough to make that play.
Ahead of the Copa America game last night at SoFi Stadium in LA, Neymar, the Brazilian superstar in soccer, met up with Puka Nacua, gave him a Neymar jersey for the Rams. How legendary is this link-up as the Rams?
Puka Nacua's fantasy world continues.
He's a Jordan brand.
He's
a
Jordan
out
athlete. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL after one season.
That's amazing.
Broke all those records, and now he's exchanging jerseys with Neymar.
That was actually the best part for Brazil that night. They tied Costa Rica 0.
Wild. Just, I mean, it has been a dream for that dude.
Pretty awesome.
So fun to watch.
Also good lettuce. How about that? Check out part 2 of the Cougar Tailgate podcast with Mitch and Maddie Matthews as they look back on their time at BYU. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. I heard the edition of the episode was elite.
Hey, we just told you about the Corn Ferry Tour and Cooper Jones and what he did.
Yeah!
Why not hear from the man who's competing right now, still on the Corn Ferry Tour?
Like as we speak?
All of it. Well, he's practicing, that's for sure.
Probably.
This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Our second guest of the day, a man who had an unbelievable weekend as an amateur on the Korn Ferry Tour. I'm just going to say it now. Future PGA Tour guy, Cooper Jones, is with us on BYUSN. Cooper, welcome to BYU Sports Nation again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Okay, brother, let's talk about the 16th place finish. You shoot 13 under for the event. At one point, you were in first place going into one of the rounds, which is pretty wild. Have you finally one-upped your older brother, Zach? Because he hasn't done that.
I think so. I think I finally one-upped him this time. He's been in the Korn Ferry event, and he missed a cut, so I guess he doesn't have that on me. So.
You're like, see ya, I'm in the cut. No, you guys are so good. It's fun to watch you compete. You just finished your freshman year at BYU. You get the invite to this tournament, and then you shoot a 66 on back-to-back days. What was it like to compete in a professional tournament, kind of see what you can do in that?
Yeah, it was good going out first time on the Korn Ferry. Honestly, I didn't feel a lot of nerves, which was good, so that just allowed me to – my game felt good, so it allowed me to score well when I, you know, on the first 2 days. I wish I could have kept it going, but the golf course got a little bit harder, so it was good to go out swinging and shoot some good scores.
Okay, so for your efforts and that top 25 finish, you get to hop in the car and go to Springfield, Illinois, and play in a second consecutive Korn Ferry event.
Land of Lincoln.
Yeah, what has the travel schedule and just your overall personal schedule been like as you've navigated these now two tournaments?
Yeah, so I was actually signed up for an amateur event in Pinehurst, so I had to cancel that flight and drive to Illinois, which wasn't too bad of a drive, but I'm out here now and just played 9 holes this morning, and it's pretty cool just pretending like I'm a professional for 2 weeks or hopefully keep it going if I can keep taking top 25. So
you're in Springfield right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go visit like some Abraham Lincoln stuff? There's some pretty cool stuff to see there.
Yeah, my dad mentioned that. He lived here or was born here or something. So maybe if I have time, need to get the game in shape and then maybe go see some stuff.
I think there's a statue, you like rub his nose or something. I think I did as a kid. Yeah, that's awesome. All of this, by the way, not only after your freshman year at BYU, but you have a mission call to Trujillo, Peru coming up in September. So how are you managing the greatest summer of your life so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going until September, so I figured might as well get as much golf in as I can before I take a 2-year break. So I'm super excited for that. Hopefully I can keep playing good golf before I head out, so I head out on a high note.
Why was it important for you to go on a mission in spite of your athletic success? Because it is a sacrifice.
Yeah, it definitely made it a little bit of a harder decision being an athlete. I mean, but I think because I made that decision when I was young to go on a mission, you know, both my older brothers went on a mission despite having athletic opportunity. So they were big examples, and I think it's the right thing for me to do. I can only do this once. I can play golf for the rest of my life. So
amen,
it's good to go take a 2-year break and serve a mission.
Cooper Jones is with us on BYU Sports Nation. As an amateur, you can't earn money even though you finish super high. So if you can't take the funds, Cooper, what does this do to lay a path for you when you get back from your mission and pursue professional golf after you come back and compete for BYU again?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know if it does a whole lot. Definitely experience for me and knowing that I can compete out here. There's a decent chance that because of this finish, you know, I might get a sponsor exemption into another one if I'm at that level when I'm about to graduate. But yeah, just the experience is the biggest part. Biggest takeaway.
Walk us through your favorite shot from the tournament over the weekend.
Oh, geez. Oh, definitely that Sunday round. I started off with 2 bogeys in my first 4 holes. Par 5 coming up, pretty long one. I tried to hit driver off the deck there. Didn't really get it there. Had like a 40-yard pitch in a rough off a downslope, over a bunker, down a slope, and I chipped it in. My mom videoed it, which was lucky.
So nice.
It's pretty cool to make an eagle, get back to even par through 5 holes, but that was definitely the highlight.
Can you hear your family screaming on the course, or are you so dialed in you're not paying attention to that?
That one I actually could. My mom doesn't like to make a lot of noise, but she let a little cheer out. So
that's awesome. Cooper Jones is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, walk us through expectations for this tournament in Springfield. What are you hoping to do here as you continue this magical run through the summer before your mission?
Yeah, I mean, now that I have set a standard of top 20, I think that's definitely a goal of mine, is to try to get into the next event. But being realistic, this is the Korn Ferry Tour. So I think just making the cut is maybe my first goal, just like last week, make the cut and then see where I'm at and then see if I can sneak inside the top 25 or better.
Did you give Daniel Summerhays and Peter Quest any trash about beating those guys as well?
I don't think I saw him after the round, but no, I no trash. I'm glad they can play well, and I'm cheering for them just as much as I'm cheering for myself. So.
They're great dudes.
It's so fun to have so many Cougs in golf. Like, this is a great golf school, a lot of history.
Yeah.
Best of luck at the Memorial Health Championship, and enjoy checking out some Abraham Lincoln stuff.
Yeah, I will do. Thank you so much.
All right, Cooper. By the way, take some BYU Sports Nation karma, man. Go and play well in Springfield. We'll be cheering you on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cooper Jones of BYU Men's Golf. Hey, what a run.
What a run. I love it.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, in 3 months, Elder Jones. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, up next, the final four of our best BYU quarterback bracket is set.
Ooh.
Who earns one of those final spots? It's going to be Ty Detmer or Robbie Bosco, national champion or Heisman winner. Good luck, everyone.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYUSN. It's time for the latest matchup in our best BYU quarterback bracket with your assistance. And during the month of June, we're zeroing in on the best to ever do it as a signal caller for BYU. We're almost down to one. We do have a final four set, Jeremy.
McMahon took down Max Hall with 76% of the vote. So we are to the semifinals today. Ty Detmer and Robbie Bosco.
All right.
It's all chalk
into
the
semis. It is chalk in the final four. Not a shocker. We only saw one major upset leading up to this round. That was Taysom Hill as the 11th seed before he lost to Steve Young. Now it's the Heisman Trophy winner or the national championship winner.
Let's go. Ty Detmer, one seed, over 15,000 passing yards, 121 touchdowns, 29 wins as a starter, won the 1990 Heisman Trophy with almost 5,200 yards of passing, 59 NCAA records, 7th in career passing, still 10th in career touchdowns, still in NCAA history.
Robbie Bosco, the 4 seed, passed for 8,400 yards, 66 touchdowns, completed 64% of his passes, went 24-3 as the starting quarterback of BYU, culminating in that unforgettable BYU national championship.
Look at Robbie go here.
Jeremy finished third in the Heisman voting twice and was an AP All-American. Who's going to win the matchup? Do you put more stock into the national championship or into the Heisman Trophy?
Ty Detmer, we're going to win this. Love Robbie. He's a homie. Ty Detmer.
All right. Again, to vote, Instagram, X. We'll combine the votes and let you know who wins tomorrow, who advances in the bracket.
I can tell you right now, it's Ty Detmer.
But by how much?
There's one of the letters of his name on the mountain. Just put up a T there.
Our question of the day, back to BYU basketball for the BYU men. What would qualify as a better season for the Cougars than last year? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Brightside BYU.
Mr. Brett
on X, who says, all about the tournaments for me. BYU needs to reach the quarterfinals again in the conference tournament and at least one win in March Madness. A few first-round draft picks would also go a long way for future recruiting.
A few? We'll take one. We'll take two as well. We might have
BYU
two.
BYU hasn't had anybody drafted since Jimmer, which was the last time they got to the round of 32. Correlation? Probably.
Let's go.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Kenneth Rooks and James Corrigan in the steeplechase Sunday night at Tracktown USA in Eugene. Some things never change. This is them first and third in the steeplechase in the United States. BYU teammates. Kenneth, a year ago, won the NCAA championship while at BYU. Now he's a pro. And James was just in studio like a month ago after winning the Big 12 steeplechase here. And now he took third. He's got a chance to make the Olympics if this weekend he can run under the qualifying standard for the Olympics. Congrats to those guys.
The list of the Cougars in the Paris Olympics grows. Okay, Clayton Young, Rory Linkletter from Canada.
Connor Mance
Jimmer, as well.
Probably Kenneth, maybe James, maybe Courtney Wayman, maybe Lexi Halliday-Lowry. We got more, bro. We got more.
This is awesome, to say the least. Our thanks to today's guest, BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young, and outstanding golfer Cooper Jones.
Sorry to Dennis Pitt. No time. I'm not sure you can run the steeplechase, nor can I.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Todd Miller. See you tomorrow on BYUSN back here in Studio B. Go Cougs. Let's win a tourney game, huh?